Mihal McGarald sanim dom abit tús og tungan ga hein tús ro sais la sanim sha agus ami so valeriach ami a she civil on angen ni cher civil on angen agus man knok sun hu sun akelin agus ta for shana vanishiran temple vanachen agus ta tober vanachen was du hast dann dann diget so gwaimen tischkas as sun hagan tischke agus bin ra au kaid morgen remale sho so tick sho de dalv so civilian ra chum civilian Donald Koska, being Tinigan and Madden, a Sheikhogan Madden, has been Ephraim. I guess Tagan Slush, that's the ticket, so it's been Brian Taylor was much. I guess my son, Wahan Tranhuna, he's in China, but she's in War Mission, and she wife had, he and she wife had the Vihav, being Tinachnavagan, it's a horse, at a shack the hog, I guess we shan't, they don't know Shimakat and Dira. I guess we, oh, we are soon getting in. I guess we know yoga, Homa, Lana yoga, if you want. I guess being, being Tranhona and a guess again. I guess we a couple of set tickets are here. So show me this one here, and it's we a couple of set. And he did only. We were so doing a carouche as a door man. So take, I guess we, so last year, I guess take, I guess, no hair of the shoulder.
Micheál, usually I would say to people, your Irish isn't so bad, but I'm going to say your English isn't so bad, which is something I wouldn't hear common, but you're Irish to the core.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm a head hanger. Go, I'm a head hanger. I have English, but you know.
If you don't see a need, I suppose,
yeah,
to speak it.
Yeah, and I can understand English perfectly, unless there's some very strange words or hard words like, you know, that I wouldn't have the meaning of. But I'd have a good understanding of English, mm-hmm. you know. But then again, speaking English, my vocabulary would be limited,
okay.
you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd know that. I'd know that. I mean, I'd have no problem with simple conversations, none whatsoever, like.
Well, one like this, so.
yeah, naturally. I mean, and all, and the same goes with people learning Irish. I mean, I would say, obviously, keep using it, like, you know, and use what you have, you know. And if you have to put in an English word then, or if you haven't got the word, of course use an English word and go back then and find out
yeah.
what the Irish word would be.
And that's your couple of focal, then?
Yeah, and you learn, and that's how you learn. But the best way you learn is to the chat, and if you like people meeting for coffee or something, coffee morning, and as I say, well, we're having a coffee morning now, we'll only speak Irish, say for a half an hour, and everybody make an effort, you know, and you'll be surprised after a while, but you have to have interest,
yeah.
That has to come from yourself.
Well, I think that's a really important point to point out as well, because when we go to school, do the children have an interest or do they have to learn it? Whereas if you have an interest, it's easier.
Oh, a lot easier. Yeah, it is. You need an interest, like. And then I'd say, don't worry about grammar. See, we were lucky. We never had to do. I never did grammar in Irish because you had it natural. Mm-hmm. You know, 99% correct, like, you know. So, but we never did it. I never learned. I couldn't tell you why I said it's this way in Irish, like. Whereas some people that have learned it from the book and are very good at it, they can explain why.
Yeah.
Explain it to you. I couldn't explain it to you mm-hmm. because I don't know the theory. What I have is just natural. You have it natural.
You have speaking Irish because you grew up in a household where it was all Irish.
All Irish and everywhere. Going to school, everybody had it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. Tell me a bit about that when you were younger and it was just, you know, back here where you are living, it was just Irish. There was no English.
Well, there was no English. I was living now nearer to Ballyfermot, like, you know. There was, you could say it was all English in Dingle. And we had no English. And we were only 7 miles from Dingle or whatever.
That's amazing.
We had no English at all. And I mean now we had no English, you know.
So and how old were you when you first started to learn English?
I suppose some bit in the national school when we went into the fifth class, fifth and sixth and seventh class, like, you know, we'd have to, we made a shape, like, but it was like you were learning Irish, you learned it kind of off by heart. Mm. You know, the sentence didn't register, like, you know, because
you were just,
you did everything, you taught in Irish anyway, like, you know, and, you know, and you'd understand at that stage, then you'd understand it, like, but you couldn't speak it, like, couldn't express yourself in it, like, say what you wanted to say. Mm-hmm. You know.
And tell me about the first word you learned in English.
Oh, I remember the very first word. There's the teacher at school holding the chalk and putting it up, and then that's a chalk. And that's, I still have it. I still have that sentence. Yeah.
And what was it like in school when, you know, you and your classmates were trying to learn this language to you that wasn't familiar, but you knew, had you gone outside Ballyferrisher, yeah, that this was a language that everyone was speaking here in Ireland? Yeah.
But the thing was, like, you know, they didn't start teaching it, I suppose, in my time, because we were in the senior classes, like, mm-hmm, and a bit as a subject to read something in, yeah, you know.
So you're about 11 or 12?
Well, I was 10 anyway. Yeah, about 10, I said. But then again, it was very, I learned it very fast then, because I got a scholarship, I got the scholarship up to St. Mary's in Galway, you know, and I was there, went there in September and came home for Christmas. And between September and Christmas, I hid English. Mm. Simple as that, 3 months.
And when you came home then, what was it like?
Oh, it was, you didn't use it. but I had it, like, you know, that's what I'm saying. And I'd say the same thing if somebody came in here to live with me for 3 months without having a word of Irish. And I'll guarantee you they'd have Irish in 3 months. That's 3 months living with me, mm-hmm, living here, sir. I've been going to a household, students going to a household. That time, going to into a household now, it's different because there's a television, there's a radio, and there was nothing like that. And that's the conditions that you need to pick up a language. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, because you have plenty of English, you don't want English at all. Like, all you want is Irish. And if you've got 3 months doing everything, you'd learn bit by bit, mm-hmm, but you'd have it. You'd be a fluent speaker in 3 months.
Okay.
And I guarantee that. Yeah.
We must put it to the test sometime.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Put it to the test and see, is it true? But it is true if you eliminated your television, yeah, your radio, and that.
And the phone.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was no phone. Mm-hmm. We had the television, we had the radio, we had the phone. See, all those things, they'll ruin the project, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah. It'll be a good thing as well for your own mental health.
Well, like you were saying, no, you should try it, put it to the test. But all these things that have to go.
Yeah.
And to have a level playing field, mm-hmm, you know, and it would work, because, I mean, I'm telling you, I picked up English.
Mm-hmm. And Micheál, you said as well that your parents went over to America, but when they came home, they didn't speak a word of English.
No, because it was all Irish in the area. Mm-hmm. And that time again, look, we're going back again, like, 80 years, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. You wouldn't do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you brought that to the present time, they'd be speaking English, and we'd be brought up in English. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the difference.
How did they get on over in America?
Oh, they were good. My mother had English going over.
Okay.
Because they were teaching English in school that time. Going back to them days, like, you know, in the 20s. Mm-hmm. She was going to school in the 20s. Oh. Yeah. But my father was from Comino, like, you know. And they had all Irish. They had very little English going on. Mm-hmm. Practically none, I'd say, you know, that kind of way, yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose.
But then again, you in America, of course, you'll pick it up.
Yeah.
And you'll pick it up fast, like when you're hearing nothing else. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose as well, back in those days, it must have been so strange for them to go over to a place where that was their only language, whereas they had to, you know, cooperate with them.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. But, all the people that came from Cork and places now in the 50s, the 40s, the 50s, to Ballyfermot, they picked up Irish. They had Irish going to school in Cork, sir, and school like that. They'd have, well, they wouldn't be fluent or anything like that. But they had no word of English back there then, when they were back. They all learned Irish very fast. Because there's, if you walk into a pub now, like, there's probably all English.
Mm-hmm.
You even back in Ballyfermot, anywhere, with tourists or anything, all English. And you'd get people tending bar and all that, there'd be foreigners, some of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you meet tourists, I'm assuming that you meet a lot of tourists and they hear you speaking this lovely language. What's their reaction like?
I really don't know, because... I really don't know. They like to hear it, all right. Like, you know, some of them don't know there is a language, like, you know, but there is an Irish language.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about accents there before we started recording, and I was asking you about, you say you listen to the Donegal accents, but you were saying years ago that they didn't have the power of radios where they could get used to that.
Oh, yeah. The radios are great. Great. I mean, I can understand Connemara, Donegal, no bother, like, you know, from the radio. No bother now. But my parents never had a chance. Like, they'd find it very strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it's like...
Because it's like hearing another language. You know, unless they speak slowly and that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd manage it that way, all right? Like, you know, because it's the one language. Mm-hmm. Even the same words, mostly. Slight difference, like, you know.
Well, it reminds me of that time when we were doing our... Irish orals, and you'd get one person speaking, you're trying to translate them, and then you get the one with the accent from up the north.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have a clue what they were
saying.
That's
right, yeah, but that's understandable, you know, because even English works like that. I had a cousin here from London, the heart of London, like, you know. My mother couldn't understand him in English, and I'd have a hard time understanding him in English, even.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll tell you that it's still just the accent,
yeah.
You know.
Tell me a bit about your community here. You're very much involved.
Oh, we are here. We have two occasions here now in this village. Like, you know, we have a mass Easter Sunday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we light a fire, the Easter fire. And it's a community thing, you know, and we get over 100 people come to that mass. Even there was a few from North Kerry come here for it. It's like, I don't know, the novelty of it or something in the time of the morning. And it's, and neighbours, like, they do it. The only thing I do is I do the fire. Neighbours do it, and they bring in you know, cakes and that, and because we have a cup of tea and that for everybody. And we have drink, we celebrate, we always have, we have our own drink, we have put in, and the novelty of that, that's all that was drank above last Sunday night, the bonfire. You'll see some of the bottles behind the empty bottle, you know, and it's part of the tradition that goes with the bonfire, you know, the night of the 23rd of June. We always have that as a big occasion. Again, it's the village community. They do the baking and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. No. And what is it that you love so much about this area?
I suppose, like, the fact that you're brought up in an area, you like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're fond of it.
Yeah.
Kind of. Because, and you're proud of it.
Yeah. And that's an important thing, because you see a lot of people having to leave areas because of jobs and whatnot. So it's really important that you're proud of where you're coming from and that you're here.
Well, with me, it's with the language. It's pure pride.
Mm.
above anything else. Like, that's why, like, I was going to say I have no mass in English, but it's, you know, the it wouldn't rate with Irish, as far as I'm concerned, you know. That kind of way, that's how I feel.
And there's beautiful sayings in Irish, such as Shanuckles.
Oh, there are, yeah, there are.
I wonder what's your favourite one, Micheál?
Well, it's a direct translation of it's nice. I'll say das vedas. It's nice to be nice to people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's one of the most important ones.
Well, Micheál, we'll leave it at that. But it was so lovely to meet you and hear your story and just how much you actually love your culture and your language.
Oh, God, yeah. That's, I suppose, I think the language would be number one with me, pure pride. And I suppose ahead of that really is the people that brought me my freedom. I go back to 1916 and those men and women. I mean, they're to me, I didn't know what to say.
They're everything to you.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Tops. Tops. Heroes. Same as the language, the people that kept the language. And respect for my parents, grandparents. It's a very strong feeling. Very strong feeling.
Well, I'm delighted to have been able to speak to you and meet you today, Micheál.
You're welcome.
Or should I say Gurumahagut?
Gurumahagutai, Nachalin, Gurumahagutai.